this is a sermon that I was going to preach last Sunday, and I was not really, I was not excited about it. I'll just tell you what, I'm not. And we're going along, and we're preaching some hard doctrinal truths, you know, justification, sanctification, and then all of a sudden he starts talking some personal stuff about how we're supposed to treat each other. And then we get to chapter 13, and I'm going, now what am I supposed to do with this? So in Romans, the 13th chapter, the believer and the government. And I'm not real happy with the government right now. I just don't know about y'all, but I'm not. Matter of fact, I think it's a detriment to the cause of Christ as well as our own personal freedoms that we've been dealing with for 2 years. People, and I believe government has taken advantage of this pandemic to try to intentionally take away our freedom of speech and our all this other stuff. So when I come to this, I'm not real happy about it. It's God's word. I'm going to preach it. So there may be a twist. So let's look together this morning. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7 is what we'll be looking at this morning. It says in verse 1, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except by God, and the authorities that are existing are being instituting and continues to be instituting, instituted by God. In verse 2, so that he who is setting himself against authority of the ordinance of God, they have resisted and continues to resist. And the ones who have resisted and continues to resist, they will receive judgment to themselves. The connection between Romans 12 and Romans 13 is clear. If the Christian is not to seek personal vengeance, and we talked about that, it does not take away the government's authority to punish wrongdoers. And that's every soul, every Christian. Paul simply says that we should be subject to governing authorities. And this is in contrast to groups of the zealous Jews in those days that recognized no king but God. It was a different world back then. A world in which we would not recognize. You had a king. You had a Caesar. You had a government authority. Even though for the Jews, that government came in and forced themselves upon them. They weren't autonomous. Everything went through Rome. Rome was the big cheese. It was the big government, and they had the power of authority over all of its subjects. You see, we subject ourselves to governing authorities because they are appointed by God. And they serve a purpose in His plan. We find that God has used governments, evil, corrupt, malicious governments, especially in the Old Testament, Assyria, Babylon. We find Him using these governments, even though they were corrupt and evil. He used them, and they were ordained by God. If you were living under those governments, you might feel persecuted and oppressed. You might feel like that, your life was on the line every time that you spoke out. We are living in a time today where Can you believe this? The Speaker of the House spoke out and said, encouraging all of our athletes at the Winter Games in Beijing, encouraging them to be quiet and don't say anything against China because they could do some bad stuff to you. This is the United States of America. What is going on? I thought that was our deal, freedom. But think of all the people who live under the rule of China. I don't know how much you know about the persecution of a group of Hindus in China, the mass destruction and the enslavement of Uyghurs. It's a big deal. But China is an authority, and the people who live in China are under the authority of China. And that's designated by God. So if you grow up Chinese and you become a Christian, you have to live within the laws of that land. God appoints nations' leaders, but not always to bless the people. Sometimes it's to judge the people or to ripen the nation for judgment. Remember when Paul wrote this, they were living under the Roman Empire. It was no democracy. No special friend to Christians either. Yet, he still saw their legitimate authority. There's no such thing as a Christian anarchist. You see, remember back when Israel was first set up and God appointed judges as their government? That God was the ruler. It's called a theocracy. God was their ruler and God appointed judges. And then one day they decided that they wanted a king. They went from the ultimate king to men. And so, God did not just say, okay, you're on your own. Well, he did kind of say that, but he didn't say, he recognized the government of Saul. He recognized the government of David and Solomon. He recognized the government as something that was a good thing for the people. He did not allow them just to live under, mob rule. Since governments have authority from God, we are bound to obey them. Unless they order us to do something in contradiction to God's law, then we are commanded to obey God before man, as Peter said. Let's don't get that mixed up, though. There's a lot of things that this government today is doing that is opposed to Christ. For instance, just take one. The opposition that we have, rightly so, I believe, of abortion. Unless they're making you have an abortion, then we are to follow the law of the land, the government that has been set up for us to live under. Now you just take that and you say, well, that's against God's law. Well, it may be, but is it forcing you to break God's law? That in that way is the only way that you can the only way that you can disobey that law. But see, God uses these governing authorities as a check upon man's sinful desires and his tendencies. I know some folks who All they want is civil disobedience. They don't want any authorities. We went through a time of, in the last few years, of defund the police. We're going to reimagine policing. Surely y'all remember all that. We knew exactly where that was headed. And right now, crime is rampant. We've got district attorneys in large metropolitan cities who are saying, we're no longer going to prosecute people who have guns used in the event of a crime. We'll only prosecute if they actually shoot and kill somebody. Now, I am not making that up, guys. This is what's happening. And so, government should be a check so that we can live a clean, good, decent life without fear of someone else coming in and robbing us, killing us, raping us, the whole works. That's what government's job is. That's what God has instituted. Because it doesn't matter if there are no laws, no punishable laws, then people are going to do bad things. It is just simply the case. And government has been given to us by God in order to make sure those people don't do those bad things to us. That's the purpose of government. Government can be an effective tool in resisting the effects of man's fallenness. That bank that I keep talking about that I want to rob, there is a reason why I don't rob that bank. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to have to get jail. I might get shot. There are punishments involved for this. And so therefore, because of the government and the punishment, it keeps at least me in check. Now, it doesn't keep everybody in check. There are still some speed limit signs that I see people violating all the time. Nah, it's too easy. No, but we kind of know which ones, right? The government is in place to protect us, and that is God ordained. So what is the job of the government? Look in verses 3 and 4. For the rulers are not a source of fear to the good works, but to the evil. Are you wishing to be not fearing the authority? You be doing good and you will have praise from it. For it is an agent of God for the good to you, but if you may be doing evil, be afraid. For it's not bearing the sword vainly. For of God, for it is an agent, an avenger unto wrath to him doing the evil. Paul's idea here is that Christians should be the best citizens of all. Even though we're loyal to God, before they are loyal to the state, Christians are good citizens because they are honest. They give no trouble to the state. And most importantly, pray for the state and the rulers. I am as diametrically opposed to this government as it stands now as I could have ever been. We still have to be good citizens. We still need to pray for our leaders. Paul describes government officials as agents. They have a service in the plan and administration of God, just as much as church leaders do. Someone always asks, well, is the United States found in Revelations? Well, he found in the end times. Doesn't matter. God's got a plan for this nation. He's had a plan for this nation. I think when you go back for so many years, we can see that the founding fathers had a great plan for this nation to follow God. Instituted something that had never been found in the entire world before. And the idea of democracy. People rule. instead of a leader rule. God had a plan in that. I have no doubt whether or not we're going to be, you know, the nation will be around in the tribulation period. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But what matters is right now, God has instituted the United States of America into His plans for us. And I believe for His church. So if the state's rulers are God's agents, they need to remember that they are only servants and not gods themselves. Ooh, hold on a second. What did I just say? Yeah, I'm going to get flagged for this. No! They're servants. The way this works is this. We elect them to serve and represent us. And if the nation is of God, and they're actually servants of God, they're not gods unto themselves. They do not rule the people rule, but ultimately God rules. Now, it is through the just punishment of evil that government serves its function in God's plan and holding people's sins in check. When a government fails to do this consistently, it opens itself up to God's judgment and correction. Right now, they're being very particular about what crimes that they're going to punish, what laws that they're going to enforce. One that sticks me is we're talking about immigration reform. There's no need in reform, just the laws that we have. Enforce them. Or gun control. Tell me that there's not enough laws in New York City or Chicago. Tell me that there's not enough laws. No. Just enforce the ones you got. It's the job of a government to keep us safe. And when a government stops keeping its people safe, it opens itself up for God's judgment. God's going to take care of His people. The sword here is a reference to capital punishment. For it is not bearing the sword vainly, for if God is an agent, an avenger unto wrath to him doing the evil. In the Roman world, criminals were typically executed by beheading with a sword. That was for the worst of criminals, especially of the lower classes. So Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has no doubt that the state has the legitimate authority to execute criminals. Capital punishment. Paul's saying here they have the exact right to do that. What a government supposed to do? It's to keep us safe. So what are our responsibilities to government? Verses 5 through 7. Therefore, to be put in subjection is necessary not only because of the wrath, but because of the conscience. Because of this, you all paying taxes, you all are agents. They are agents of God. They attending to the same thing. But you all paying all their debts, to whom tax, the tax, to whom custom, the custom, to whom respect, the respect, to whom honor, the honor. To whom honor, the honor. We are to be subject to government. Not just simply because we fear punishment. Okay? It's got to be a little more than that. That's not the only thing that's keeping me from robbing that bank, by the way. My conscience. Not just the fear of getting caught, but my conscience before God. You know, because we know it is right before God to do so, to not do that. We know that God said this is wrong and therefore we should not do it. For conscience sake, Christian obedience to the state is never blind. We obey the state with eyes, the eyes of conscience wide open. We're also to pay taxes due from us because there is a sense in which we support God when we do. We are helping Him, the government, take care of protecting ourselves. Boy, hadn't that got messed up in this country. But anyway, we're doing everything but with our tax money. By implication, Romans 13:6 says that taxes collected are to be used by government to get the job done of restraining evil and keeping an orderly society, not to enrich the government officials themselves or to spread all that money all around the world. Yes, I'm getting wound up. By the way, that money is also shouldn't be used for people who legally in this country, by the way. We shouldn't, our tax dollars should not, you know, it should be closing the border down instead of welcoming people in and says we're going to give you free health care. And you name the program. But every program that we have today is encouraging people not to work, not to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. They are encouraging people to live off of a government for votes. You become entitled, you become enslaved to the hand that feeds you. And this government encourages it. It is always amazing to me. It's always amazing to me how a government servant who spends 20, 30, 40 years in service can come out multi-millionaire off of a $120,000 a year salary. So we are to give the state the money, honor, the proper reverence which are due to the state, and all the while reserving our right to give to God, which is to God alone. Give Caesar what's Caesar's. You give God what is God's. In light of this, is rebellion against the government ever justified? Whoa. Now, there were some that claimed last January 6th that there was a rebellion going on. It was a terrible rebellion, by the way. If that was the case, there's not any guns at all. there was no overthrow of the government. There's just a bunch of people who were upset. But is it ever justified? Do we get from scriptures anywhere to where we can say it is time for us Christians to, you know, take over this country? If a citizen has a choice between two governments, is it right to choose and promote the one that is the most legitimate in God's eyes, the one which will best fulfill God's purpose for governments? Yeah, we're getting to it right now. We are to respect, honor, obey the laws of this government. It is God ordained. And honestly, I love this country. I know that probably each one in here got a true history of the way our country was founded. They came over from England and other countries amidst persecution of the church. From the church. Because they had differing opinions about how to worship God. And they came and they started a new life. And the next thing you know, they were starting to be taxed by the king. The next thing you know, there was no representation for them of that taxation. The next thing you know, that wanted control over the religious groups. So what do? They tried to work it out. And eventually they said, it's time. We've got to do something. And they did something. They rebelled. They took it upon themselves with their old muskets and not very much else. They overthrew the greatest army in the entire history up to that point, the history of the world, the British Army. And then they got together and they said, we want a different kind of government. We don't want any more of these problems. We don't want taxation without representation. We don't want people interfering in our religion. We don't want people. We want to be able to worship the way we choose. We want to be able to govern ourselves. And so they came up with the unique concept. One man, one vote. We're going to elect our leaders. We're going to have representatives who will represent us. We're going to have a federalistic democracy. We're going to have a point where we're going to look to God. Read the Constitution. Tell me that God didn't have a hand in this. Our rights to freedom of free speech, as I still have that, by the way, Facebook. A freedom for us to go where we want to go. They're not restricted by travel. The freedom to own a gun, Randy. We have that freedom. Guaranteed by the Second Amendment. You know why it's guaranteed by the Second Amendment? Because the Constitution also tells us, it also tells us that we have the right, if we have a tyrannical government, we have the right to rebel. We need the guns to do just that. Look it up. It's there. So I'm telling you all of this, and then you look at today. Today we have found they've taken Christ out of the schools, prayer out of the schools. They've replaced humanistic theology with God. Science is the God today, right? Except when it doesn't quite work out, by the way. I don't know if y'all caught the study last week or not. Depends on what station you was listening to. But the entire lockdowns, they studied it and they said that it saved probably maybe 0.2% of the deaths and caused great harm all over the place by the lockdowns. That was science, by the way. True science is God's science, by the way. So here we are today with God being attacked, churches being attacked left and right. And I don't know what you think about this, but churches were under attack all over the country, and they still are in Canada and in California. It's amazing how an abortion clinic could be something necessary that had to stay open, but a church couldn't. After all of this attacks, and so you can understand my frustration. I'm seeing all of this happen, and then I read the Apostle Paul goes, be subject unto your government. I'm getting to the end. We are to be subject to the laws. But here's the great thing. The great thing about our laws is we get a chance every other November to go to the polls and vote. We get a chance to change this country. We get a chance to have new leadership. We get a chance to change the way this country operates simply by our votes. And you know what? If all the evangelical Christians would actually just go out and vote, know what they're voting for, then guess what? That change could actually happen. We have never had a situation, it never was in the Scriptures, where you had a country who allowed their own citizens to have their own leadership. Nowhere. So when Paul wrote this, he was under the assumption that the Roman Empire, everybody understood the Roman Empire, and that you need to be a good citizen in it, even though you didn't agree with everything, you just did your part. And that's all I'm asking today. That's all I'm asking today. Is be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. Now I know some of y'all, y'all care less about politics. Don't even want to know what's on the news. And I'm telling you, you need to be a good citizen. You need to know what's going on. You need to be aware. Because systematically, because of years and years and years of Christians who have allowed this to happen, we allow them to take God out of schools. We allow them to you know. We've allowed all this to happen. I'm not calling for armed revolt. Calling for us to stand up and be good citizens. Find out what's going on in this world. Understand good, evil, and vote against evil. Sometimes it's not that great choice. Sometimes it's not. It's not a you know. Sometimes it's bad, very bad. Make that decision. Be informed. Know your stuff. Don't put your head in the sand anymore. It's time for us, as we'll find out in a couple of weeks, it is high time for us to wake up and stop sleeping. It's time for us to become good citizens, and with that being good citizens means going out and using the laws of this land that are allowed to us to protest, to do whatever it is. Just don't break the laws. To go out and stand firm against the evils of this world. We need to stop being passive. I love our country. I love the right that we have given us to worship the way we want to worship. To have the government that we want to have. And I hope and pray that it's more than just, I'm not interested, but you'll realize it's your godly duty to know what's going on in this world and to make a change for this world. And it could simply just be by your vote. And that is the believer in our government. There are a lot worse governments out there. We're all blessed to live in a place where we can worship the way we want to worship. I can't imagine living in a place where you have to have church services underground and quiet, secret, where you can't just pass out a Bible and say, hey, read this, without being feared of dying. So I love this country. And because I love this country, I need to be a good citizen of it. And a citizen not only to this country, but a citizen to the one who gave this country the authority, which is God. And we need to do everything that we can to protect this country from evil. And that's going to require all of us. So yes, this is a call. A call for us to be good citizens and not live off the wealth of this country anymore, because I think you're going to find that it's being taken away by those who doesn't like democracy. Let's stand together. I'm having a hard time putting the plan of salvation in here, guys. And I knew that would be the case. But, you know, I believe that this country was developed for us, for the church, as a safe place. The church was central. A place where Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ could thrive. Where I could tell you about how to be saved.
I can tell you about how Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, was resurrected, and is up in heaven coming again. I can tell you about that without fear of persecution. And it's been that way for 300 years. I will tell you this. That message ever gets shut down, that is when we obey God, not the law of man. So if you're here today, or maybe watching on Facebook, or and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what all this is really about. It's about the spread of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, help us so that we'll never allow that to be shut down in this world, this opportunity you gave us.